VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today Radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99 and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com and subscribe today.
You ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time
for us to.
Yeah. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Trevor Day Jones here with the crew. I mean, I got a full crew. I mean, we got, it's Saturday morning, a beautiful Saturday morning, family. And that's what I'm going to say the rest of the show. I got the family here with me. I got Ray Porter Jr. Yeah, I do have some of the family here with me. Anyway, I got Ray. Got to throw something in there like that.
And it's on. That's
see,
right. It's
I
on.
I didn't pick with you the whole first segment. I
oh,
didn't
gee.
Pick with you.
You got good discipline.
So we got Ray Porter Jr. Got Vince Butts. We're the regulars. And then we got Margo Hinton, Hall of Fame basketball star.
Hall of Famer.
In Western Pennsylvania Hall of Fame. And people was like, is she really? Like, of course. Go ahead.
IUP.
There you go.
IUP. Wait, there and you. South Hills High School. I just got inducted to my high school Hall of Fame, too. Oh,
nice. I was waiting for you to jump in. I had gave you the opening in the first segment. You didn't say nothing. Being humble. And then we got the legendary Aubrey Bruce with us today, too. A phenomenal columnist. Can I call you a columnist in a sense?
Yeah, you come wherever you want. Just don't call me too late for supper.
Okay. There you go.
You know, I like that line. I do endorse that. You know what I'm saying?
Don't get him started, man. So we're talking NBA. So we dropped some news on Margo. She didn't know about the Carmelo Anthony being traded. Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan being traded as well. But Vince, I got this to ask you, man. Now, you said something about Detroit being your eighth seed because you're our NBA analyst, so we look at you for a lot of the NBA stuff. But let me ask you this, man. There was something that I'm intrigued with, and I told you and Ray, we talked about this all year. Two of my favorite college players this year, one was Trae Young. Mm-hmm. Who did okay in summer league. See, he wasn't flashy and very impressive, but he did it, held his own. But the other was Michael Porter Jr., who had a back injury that kept him from playing last year, his freshman year. Right. He gets drafted, and he just had surgery.
Yeah.
What's up with that, man?
Yeah, that's I question how bad his back was when he got drafted, why he slid so much. Now we see why he slid, and I wonder if this information had been out there, he probably would have slid even further down.
Do you think he would have been drafted?
There's a good chance he wouldn't have been.
What I'm thinking. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. A young 19-year-old with two back surgeries. Mm-hmm. That's beyond a red flag.
Now, I'm going to say this. He was a phenomenal player coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. He went to Missouri. Mm-hmm. And his brother played with him at Missouri. Mm-hmm. And this is his freshman year. He had so much talk about him his freshman year. He had the back injury. Mm-hmm. He missed most of the season, if not all of the regular season, right?
Yeah.
He came back in time for the tournament.
He played three games this season.
At the end of the season. So kudos to him for coming back and getting on the floor and playing.
Right.
But us as a society and as fans and the NBA, you got a brother that has a back injury, phenomenal player. He misses an entire season. He makes it back. He has the fortitude and the concentration, the determination to make it back on the floor. Give him standing ovation for that. But you as an NBA franchise and you're a professional scouts, you're still going to draft this guy?
Mm. Well, they draft all the time on potential.
Yes, they do.
Know? Okay.
I mean, what potentially can this guy give us? And, I feel like at 14, they probably thought with the potential that he has shown already, mm-hmm. maybe, and again, I don't know. I would imagine if they knew about the pending surgery, that they probably wouldn't have taken him. Because again, that's a huge risk. All the pounding that these basketball players take, I think we don't talk about it enough. But yeah, two back surgeries, that's gonna be tough to come back from.
Mm-hmm. Now let me say this, if I can, and then I'm gonna stop and listen to you all talk. Sean Livingston, that's the name I'm gonna bring up to you guys, and I say that so that if I talk bad about you, I also got something good to say about you. Sean Livingston was one of my favorite players coming out of Peoria High School and making it drafted into the NBA. Yeah. Okay. Then he had that gruesome knee injury. Oh, it looked like his leg ripped apart, so to speak.
Yeah,
at
that
the
was
knee.
Gruesome. It was gruesome.
At the knee.
Yeah.
He sat out almost 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. Is now an NBA champion with the Golden State Warriors. Three-time NBA champion. You're actually right. So I'm not I say that to say this. Michael Porter Jr., I think he's going to end up sitting out this season coming because he's had his second back surgery. Right. And I think the Nuggets as a franchise, even though you draft him at the 14th pick, you're not going to force him to come back and play. And I think they said that. So we may see him sit out. But I bring up Sean Livingston to say that even though it's Michael Porter Jr.'s back, when that young boy heals, he's only 19 years old. At 20 years old or 21, when he does finally get on the court, he might be another Sean Livingston.
Interesting.
I mean, we're not talking about
just
a knee,
put it out there. I knew you were going to say that, but go ahead.
So a guy like think about Paul George, like coming back from the injury that he had, unprecedented. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had never seen anything like that. Coming back from that and being the player, the solid, still solid player that he is. Mm-hmm. It's different. Everything's on your back. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, other injuries you can work around. But I think it's going to be real tough to come back from two back surgeries.
I would say think of Yao Ming and Steve Nash.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about
Steve
Nash.
End of their careers. Well, Yao Ming, his whole career, I think he had bad everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also Steve Nash, I don't think any of those guys – you know, got back to where they were. Mm. Maybe he does have youth on the side, though.
I was going to say that because they were older.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he does. I was thinking Larry Bird, the end of his career.
On his back. On the floor. Yeah.
Right. And I think he had issues even after that. And I understand, he's, advanced age. I just think that even with his potential, if he comes back, I see him being a marginal player. Like, he can have a 10-year career easy, but I don't think he ever reaches that potential that people thought he had.
Hey, I got one too. Greg Oden. I mean, came out one of my favorites in Ohio State. Remember, it was him, and then it was Kevin Durant that came out, and it was one of those, well, who you going to draft first? Obviously, you know who one was. And just the fact that even after his rookie year with Portland, how the knees just – really, and he repressed his way through 10 years. Mm-hmm. But wow, I mean, by the time he got to Miami, that's all. He was pretty much sitting on the bench in the stands, as opposed to wearing a Heat uniform.
I think he's still trying to make a comeback.
Yeah, and he was, he was overseas, 15 to 16 as well. But I mean, that's just a shame. And he looked like about 10 years older when he got drafted. I think he escalated.
You did you nice. Say he looked like the president?
You been nice. Yes.
He aged like the president.
He looked like Colonel Sanders.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's something. Something.
So, all right, Vince, go, give us what you got, man. You said the Detroit Pistons are like your number 8 team right now.
Yeah, I have at 8, I have Detroit. Miami, I have number 7. Washington at number 6. I like some of the moves they made. Milwaukee, number 5. Indiana at number 4. Toronto, number 3. Philly, 2. And Boston, 1.
Oh, so that's the Eastern Conference.
Eastern Conference.
I was going to say, man, I don't hear anything from the West. Okay, all right. So that's so what about what? Out West, what you got?
In the West, I got Minnesota at number 8. San Antonio, 7. Utah at 6. OKC at 5, New Orleans at 4, the Lakers at 3, Houston at 2, and Golden State at 1.
What? Houston at 2 and Golden State at 1. Okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. Houston better get over that choking effect they had.
I mean, desperately.
When it comes to the Golden State Warriors, they got to stop.
Golden State had a lot to do with that. Plus,
Chris Paul
getting injured.
I think they win if Chris Paul plays in that game.
Whoa. Weren't they up by 20 points in one game when Chris Paul wasn't playing?
They were. game six, I believe, you know, right, or game five.
But the thing with Golden State, like, no lead is ever tough. I mean, it's never safe.
It could be 3 minutes left, down 20. They may come back.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put that out there. That's because true. You all said CP3, and I'm like, I remember one game when he wasn't even playing, and Houston had a 20-point lead going into the half. And they came out, and they lost that game. And I'm like, how do you lose a 20-point lead? But you're talking about the Golden State Warriors.
I'm going to tell you how. With Chris Paul, the difference with Chris Paul, though, is leadership.
Right.
I think that's more than anything. Right. I think that's what he brought to Houston this year was leadership.
He makes the game so much easier for other players. I mean, like he's so efficient.
Yes.
As a shooter, he makes all the right plays. Mm-hmm. He's a tough defender. Mm-hmm. Like we talk about Marcus Smart, he doesn't do the same things defensively, but he's still a beast on defense.
Mm. Yes. Everybody needs a Chris Paul.
All right. Mr. Bruce, you hear this?
I'm loving it.
Okay. I am too, but we're about to shift gears. All right, so now, since that's Vince with our NBA analyst, is there anything else that you had on the NBA that you wanted to bring up tonight? Because I was trying to cover the big stories before you said anything.
I think we got it all.
All right, cool. That's what's up. All right, Ray Porter Jr., it's your turn. So let's shift gears, and go to the NFL. Training camp, what, next week?
Next week.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Training camp next week.
Yeah.
And I know Aubrey Bruce also covers the Steelers too. So
absolutely.
And you know how I do. I forbid you guys to talk about Pittsburgh all the time. But it's
the biggest
story
from earlier this week, though.
I got you.
I'm with you.
This is a national show. But no. Oh, we're the story. We follow the stories. And mm-hmm. we got to talk Pittsburgh because obviously Pittsburgh is always – Pittsburgh or the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Either one of the two is always them two in the headlines for whatever reason. But, so what you got? Go ahead.
I want to say something, Ray, if I may.
Help yourself, sir.
I was sitting there. I had drank some Grand Marnier. I was a little woozy. So I was kind of fading in and out. And I went online, and Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report wrote something that blew me away. He said that NFL had an $8 billion revenue stream from television. But their salary cap per team was $167 million, right? And so they got $255 million apiece. So that left them basically with over an $80 million like leftovers.
Profit.
After they paid everybody. Right. And everybody's griping about Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. So even after the NFL, they each had $167 million cap, but they made $255 million per team.
Isn't that crazy?
See what I mean? So this isn't counting the nachos and Aramark and all the concessions. So everyone's talking about Le'Veon. But don't get me wrong. I'm going to say this publicly. I think Le'Veon was a little bit on the stupid side to turn down that deal because a former running back, as I am myself, you're not going to get over 6-7 years in the league anyway. But what I'm saying, the owners are still in a indentured servitude type thing when it comes to money. And so Le'Veon, I was really against him turning down the contract. But Mike Freeman, I have to give you your props. You know, I've been covering the Steelers 40 years. But the thing about it is how can you have basically an $80 million profit
right
after you pay everybody because your cap's 167. Right. So you're not going to go over 167, period. And you're making 255 gross.
That's crazy.
Those are some crazy numbers. Mm-hmm. So, what gets me is Kirk Cousins, all these guys, they're getting all this money.
Right.
And they're not griping about that.
Of course not.
But they're only griping about Le'Veon. I ain't going to say why, but.
Right.
Would it have something to do with melanin? I don't know. You know, but I'm just saying for me, Ray, I need your take on this.
I need
your take on this.
Yeah, afternoon, once 4 o'clock came, you know, because mm-hmm. they kept talking about how much they were still negotiating. Do you really need 3 days to negotiate a contract? His mind was made up. I'm going to be honest with you. And I, as a fan, you know, obviously would want him to sign, you know, mm-hmm. but on the flip side, it's just like, hey, although, and I was surprised that Pittsburgh gave him 5 years of $70 million. That's about $15 million. A year, and I had come close. I was adding it up, and I thought it was only going to be 4 years because these days players don't want longevity mm-hmm. for, like you were saying, 4 years. So when he turned it down, I get out, it was easy to get a little disappointed and wonder, what's he thinking, you know?
Yeah.
But on the flip side, it's like this. I mean, Pittsburgh did what they were supposed to do. They gave him a generous offer. But he still, as a 27-year-old man, has to make that decision to accept it or reject it. So he chose not to accept it, and he's just going to have to play on the franchise tag for this year, and he's gone. And there's no mm-hmm. way in this plan. Although Kevin Colbert, the GM, Steelers GM Kevin Colbert, said he hopes that they're going to see if they can get him after the season's over. That's not going to happen.
No.
And unfortunately, I really believe that he's going to start filling that tractor beam of the black hole.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be one of the teams, and I call the New York Jets a black hole. I mean, because if it's a facts are, try to find a Super Bowl trophy back in 1969, anyway, 68. But the thing is, or even they said that a team like Cleveland, but they already got their running back, or a team like San Francisco that's putting themselves back together again, can look at them. And it's just one of those cases. When you know you've done all that you could, and you're extending your best offer, and even what the agent said, I didn't agree with him. And obviously, he's going to support his client. His agent said that the Steelers were offering a contract based on his position, not the player. I said, what kind of nonsense is that? Yeah, he's a running back, and he had 85 catches, but he's still a running back.
But Bell even said himself that he feels running backs were paid disproportionately in terms of what you're supposed to do.
Man.
But I really think that, and don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. I don't get into the white-black thing. I don't get into the race car thing, because to me, these guys are athletes. But if you look at the history of the way some players are played, whether it's based on them being position-wise or just other factors, the thing is, you're going to give Kirk Cousins like $1 zillion.
And that's guaranteed.
It's guaranteed. He doesn't want anything. Mm-hmm. So it makes me think that it may be some other factors involved that we have to consider or may not consider.
It might be the shade.
But here's one more thing.
Wait a minute. I'm going to cut us off because we got to go to break real quick.
Okay, no problem.
But we're going to come right back. We're getting into the NFL. We just talked about the NBA. And it sounds like Aubrey and my man Ray are about to get into it on the same side. I'm talking about a particular situation. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We'll be right back after this.